Carolyn.
And I'm Bethany.
And we are
Sisters in Song.
Tonight we have the pleasure of chatting with Alex Hall. He just released his EP called Turn This Love Around. He's got some amazing collaborations on this EP, and we're looking forward to talking with him about it. Here's a little more about Alex. Alex Hall is a Nashville-based country singer, songwriter, and multi-instrumentalist. Known for blending modern country pop with classic Americana, blues, and rock, he has gained nearly 50 million global streams and regularly performs at the Grand Ole Opry. Alex was born in Gainesville, Georgia, and he taught himself how to play the guitar at age 14, learning Elvis Presley songs, which led to regular restaurant gigs while still in high school. He gained industry attention with his 2021 debut EP, Six Strings. The project featured a star-studded lineup of collaborators, including Brad Paisley, Vince Gill, and John Osborne. His latest project is his EP, Turn This Love Around.
We have to take a minute to thank our sponsor, Brought Farm Designs. Brought Farm Designs offers the most adorable, handmade, washable, durable cat and dog bandanas and collar scrunchies. Our dogs look absolutely ravishing in theirs. Don't you want your dogs and cats to look as cool as ours? The coolest thing is that they hook onto the collar so you don't have to worry about them falling off or worry about them ending up in someone's mouth. They are perfect and they are adorable. Did I say they're adorable? Go to BF Designs 7. That's BFDESIGNS 7 on Instagram and send them a message and save 10% off your first order with the code Sisters in Song. Our dogs wholeheartedly approve.
Welcome to Sisters in Song. We're thrilled to have you here. Can you tell us who you are and where you're coming to us from?
Yes, my name is Alex Hall and I'm coming from Nashville, Tennessee. I was born and raised in Gainesville, Georgia, like an hour north of Atlanta. But I've lived in Nashville for, about 12 years now. So it's very much home and, I love it. It's where I'll probably always be.
Pretty much native status, right?
I think so. My wife is from here originally. And so her family's here. My mom just moved up here not too long ago too. So I feel like it's very much, it is home. It's been home for a long time. So yeah.
That's really cool to have all that family around you. I love that. Tell us how you started in this crazy business as a musician.
Yeah, it's really all I've ever wanted to do. I fell in love with Elvis at a really young age, which is a little bit of a weird thing for a kid to be obsessed with someone who's been passed away for a very long time, even before I was born. And I don't even really know exactly how I found his music because nobody in my family is necessarily a huge Elvis fan. But I just remember that's like my first real memory of music. And I just fell in love with him and I would get like dressed up in the costumes and put on concerts for my family as Elvis through my like little karaoke machine and all that stuff. And then I had a guitar that I got when I was fairly young and I'd never really learned how to play it. And I was about probably 13 or 14 years old. I was in middle school and I had a teacher that started encouraging me to write songs because I really loved music and I was in chorus and my chorus teacher really kind of took me under his wing. And I started taking guitar lessons for just probably about 8 or 9 months, learning just basic chords and such, and started playing my first little batch of shows around my hometown at 15, the summer before I went into high school, and started playing in restaurants and then bars and then clubs and then festivals, and then started opening up for people and started making trips back and forth to Nashville. My parents would kind of let me skip school to come up here and write with people and such as a teenager. And by the time I was, I think around a junior in high school, I was playing about 120, 130 shows a year, around the Southeast. And, moved to Nashville right after I graduated high school and got a publishing deal not long after that, getting paid to write songs professionally full time. And it's all I've ever done. So that's a very short, brief, rapid version of it. But all of that to be said, it's just all that I've ever loved. I don't know that there was ever anything else that I would ever do. Music's just the thing that's always come naturally to me. And I feel like it's just as much of me as my heart or my arms or anything else. I would feel weird without it, you know?
Yeah. So you write songs for yourself and you write songs for others. How does the process differ between the two? or does it?
For me, it doesn't. You know, that being said, if you're in the room with an artist or you know, because I do write with some other artists and stuff as well, and if there's something specifically that they are looking for or have this thing on their heart that they really need to get out that day, and it's not something that I necessarily relate to, I feel like I'd put a little bit of a different hat on and try and just dive in with them, with what they're going through, with what their thoughts are and all of that. A little bit of like a therapy session, I guess, if you will, just kind of like swap the tables a little bit. But for the most part, I try my best to write as honest and real of whatever it is in the room that day, whether it's something that I've been through or something somebody else has gone through or something I heard on the street or whatever it is. I just try my best to be as present and honest in that room that day to write the song. So whether that's for me or for somebody else, that's normally my process. I feel like the best songs come out that way. And it's taken me a long time to learn how to do that. Because it's very hard to be vulnerable and honest every time you walk into a room. But I've just learned that for me, that's the best way to do it, is to kind of rip the curtains back and just put it all on the table. And that's really my process, whether it's for me or for somebody else.
So a huge Elvis fan. So I totally.
All right. I've got a tattoo on my arm and a big poster behind me. So it's
very cool. So did you ever play Elvis songs when you were first starting out?
Oh yeah. A lot of them. That's really the first stuff that I learned how to play. And I still love them. I sing them to my now more my daughter than my son. He doesn't really care too much anymore about it, but I still sing them and love them and have too many of his vinyl. I'm a big vinyl collector and stuff too. And I played a ton of them. I used to have a little medley that I don't even remember it anymore, but of like a couple of Elvis and a couple of Johnny Cash songs from like the Sun Studios 50s era that I put in like a little medley when I was playing like long bar sets. And I would do that like every show, and it was always really fun. So yeah, I definitely have played my fair share of Elvis songs.
You're instilling that love in your kids.
Yes. Oh yeah.
That's great.
Absolutely. They don't have a choice. They're going to love Elvis.
Well, tell us about the latest EP.
Yeah. The latest thing that's come out is called Turn This Love Around. And, it's been a long time in the making. I started working on it when I had a record deal with Monument Sony Records from 2019 to 2025. And they closed the imprint I was signed to back in 2025. And we had already been about 6 months in probably to working on the EP. And they closed all of a sudden. And luckily I was able to take the music with me that I had been working on, and which was this project or some of it. And then, you know, I was just really trying to figure out what to do as an independent artist, because I'd been signed to this huge major label thing for so long. And I was writing a ton of songs. I had just recently gotten sober at that time as well from alcohol and everything. And so I was writing a ton of things. I was going through a lot of life changes. And so it didn't feel quite right to put it out at that time yet, because I was still writing so much. And so we kept working on it, and it finally came out this year, about a month or two ago. I don't even remember, to be honest with you. It's been a few months, I think, and it's just amazing. It's there's again, because some of the songs are a little older than some of them are newer, but I feel like they all go well together. And it was such an honor to get to write and record with Vince again, with Vince Gill. And he was on my Six Strings EP many years ago, and then we got to write and record this song together, and along with Tennille Towns, who's also amazing and a dear friend, and was also on that EP as well. Then having my friend Mae Estes on here as well was just amazing, because her voice is, gosh, it's unreal. And so getting her to sing on that song with me was a blast. And I'm thrilled about this EP and happy that it's finally out. And we've already very much been working on everything else that's coming after it, and have a lot of new stuff in the can as well. So it's constantly, that's why I'm like, I don't even know when it came out, because I was working on the next stuff before that even came out. So I'm just like, my timeline is askew.
I'm sure. Yeah. And you just, I mean, you live with it and live it.
Yeah.
So
I don't ever stop doing it. No.
Well, One, how fast this year has already gone, that we're already in mid, well,
oh my gosh.
So we are really excited that people and artists like yourself are starting to bring back music videos, because we grew up in the time of MTV when it was actually MTV.
Absolutely.
All that. So tell us about how all of that, what you feel about that trend and how that's coming about in Nashville.
I think it's great. A few of my friends are pretty big video directors and stuff too, that I'm very close with. I'm always picking their brains and stuff, because I love more photography than videography, but I always have an old camera with me or something. And so I love all of the visual stuff. But I think it's just still important, not in the same way that it was with like the CMT and the MTVs and all that stuff, because I don't know. I mean, it's hard to even find them on, even if you have regular cable TV, you have to have like another package to have it and all these things. And it's just very difficult to do it. But in the world of TikTok and YouTube and all the things, we're still very much in a video world. It's just a little bit more of a short form version. And so for me, I've kind of shifted my brain into trying to think of how to make video feeling videos. But where we can still make them kind of shortened versions of them, which is kind of hard to do, but at the same time, it's more fun to me than just like doing a dance or something. Cause I don't dance very well. I don't think anybody really wants to see that. And so like, we're trying to just do videos where like it makes sense for the song. They feel kind of like music videos in a way, but it still makes sense in today's world and stuff with visual media and everything. Cause we're still living in a very heavily video world, obviously. Right. But it's just not the same way as it was even 5 years ago. Yeah. And so TikTok just changed literally everything. Nobody's going to sit there and watch a 3.5 minute video.
That's a good point.
Or at least very few people. So, you know, we do them that long and then we'll chop them up and post them five times and it'll be great.
Hey listeners, Sisters in Song is brought to you by Pink Whisk Confections, our sponsor. Small batch scratch cookies, cheesecakes, and other desserts are available upon request. Custom orders for color and flavor are welcome anytime. Cookies are $15 for a box of 8 cookies and are individually packaged within the box. You can DM at Pink Whisk Confections on Instagram for placing all your orders. Make sure you use the code Sisters in Song Podcast for 5% off your first order. And you can also get these gluten-free. So anybody out there who has a gluten intolerance, you can ask for a special gluten-free order. Go check it out. I'm not kidding you. These are probably the best cookies you'll ever eat.
So thinking of technology and that kind of stuff, how do you, as a writer and an artist, feel about AI?
I'm in the mindset of it's, how do I answer it? I started off being fearful of it, because, and it is a scary thing, because people are using it, especially for demos and stuff, using the Suno and all of that stuff, which is fine. I don't personally use it. I'm in my little home studio here that's not very big, but I do all my demos in here and stuff myself, and I just enjoy that side of it. The thing for me is I don't think that it's going anywhere. And so I'm trying my best to just educate myself on it and just kind of be in the know of what's going on with it, what it looks like, how are people using it, what are some dangerous things about it. You know, I think a lot of the DSPs, I think some of them have started, but I think they need to really specify what is an AI song versus what is not. I think there's definitely some stuff that needs to be done legally for it. I personally don't use it for, you know, I'll use ChatGPT to like grammatically correct an email or something sometimes. But like outside of that, for creating and music and stuff like that, I don't personally use it. But again, I'm in the place of knowing it's not going anywhere, knowing that it is something that everyone is using, and just trying to be mindful of it and stay up to date on it. Cause I don't want to be the person that's left in the weeds on it, but I also don't want to lose my craft to it as well.
A healthy outlook on it. Smarter.
Yeah. I don't know if that really answers it. That's like a very blurred way of saying it, I think, but that's just, I guess, kind of where I am on it. Cause it's just a weird thing. It's such a strange, it's new, you know. I think that's the thing that's so hard about it is it's just so new and so unknown. And so, yeah, I'm just trying to learn about it and just see what happens. I don't know. We'll see.
I think that's good because you're right. Good to have not a plan. Going anywhere. So yeah, good to kind of keep your thumb on the pulse.
Yep, absolutely. Do you feel like when you write, you tend to, I'm going back to songwriting here, not AI, but you're almost songwriting. You feel like when you write, you are more towards the lyrics first or the melody first? How does that songwriting process kind of come about for you? I know you touched on this a little bit, but.
Yeah, it just depends. There's a song that's coming out in a few months that I've been working on, and that song, for example, I'm a little over two years into sobriety, and I go to AA, and I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous and all that stuff. And I was leaving an AA meeting, and somebody said something in the meeting that just like really hit me in the heart. And this song came to me. I got in the truck and I wrote the whole chorus on the way home, like in my voice memos app. And it was like pretty much word for word, the melody. It just came to me like that. And so that's a song where it kind of like the lyrics, the title, the all of that kind of just came into this wave of a thing, and it hit me and it came out, and that's what it was. Most of the time, I grab a guitar and start just mumbling around, and words kind of come out that's like, oh, that sounds cool, this sounds good. And or there's like an idea overall, but like it normally comes from like music, melody, lyrics is for me kind of, and then they all kind of weirdly intertwine back together. It's like a big mixing bowl, I guess, of it all. But I bounce all over the place. It's normally starts with guitar and melody, and then go to the lyrics, and then I go back into the other side of it, and then finesse those. And I don't really stop tweaking lyrics until the song is like recorded, like done, sent in, and we're mastering it. Sometimes it's done and right, but like for the most part, I'm always tweaking everything until the end. I just obsess over it probably too much, but yeah, so it just never really ends until it's done for me. But that's how it starts, I would say.
What if you get writer's block? How do you get out of it?
I don't believe in it, honestly. I don't believe in it. I think that part of it for me is I got my first publishing deal when I was 21, and I'm 30. I'll be 32 in like a week and a half. So for the longest time, I wrote 5 days a week, every week, all year, and wrote a lot of bad songs in doing so, and wrote a lot of good songs in doing so. But I think the thing about doing that teaches you how to really write songs. Again, on the days when you have it and the days that you don't have it. In doing that, it gives you the tools to know how to like kind of push through the moments where maybe you don't have a ton of ideas that are great, or maybe you aren't feeling up to the challenge of writing a song today. Whatever it is, it's raining outside and you don't want to leave your house. Whatever it might be. I think the more you do it, the more you learn to just kind of push through. That being said, it doesn't mean you're going to get a great song every time. But a lot of times, to me, when I don't feel like I have it is when the best song comes out, because I'm not thinking about it too much because I don't have anything to think about. And so I'm just truly open to whatever is coming through, wherever the songs are coming from or whatever you want to call it. So I don't know. I just don't believe in writer's block. I think that it's just something that people say when they don't feel like they can come up with something. And I don't know. I think you can always come up with something. There's always something to be written. You just have to be open to finding it. So I don't know. That's my philosophy on it. But.
Well, and to not be afraid of writing something bad.
Yeah.
That's
100%.
I
think you have to. I think you have to write something bad because that's how the good songs come out. It's like you have to weed through, you know, all of the crappy stuff to get to the gold. And again, sometimes that's the first song, and then sometimes it's 20 songs later. You know, I think it was Ed Sheeran. I was listening to a podcast he was on, and he was talking about how like sometimes he'll write three songs in a day, and most of them aren't great. But it's like you have to keep massaging the muscle and keep digging to get those songs. And a lot of times, this song that will never be anything gives you the idea for the other song that you wind up starting at the end of the write that ends up being the thing. And so I don't know. That's just my thing. I think that you have to show up and you have to just write the songs for better or worse. And there are going to be bad songs, and that's okay. I think that's the thing that a lot of people, when they say they have writer's block, they're afraid of is just the bad songs. And the truth of it is nobody hears the bad songs. So it's right? Like, you know, or hopefully they don't, you know, they shouldn't. So that's, I don't know. That's my thing. I try to look at it that way and such. I do think it's kind of silly when people say that though, because it's, I don't know. I just don't think it's real.
I love that outlook too. I think the more you can keep positive in everything that you do and have that outlook of, I can do this, whether it's fit or not, it's going to be okay, you know?
Yep.
And if I get through the junky stuff, then by the time I get across that bridge, then maybe the next thing will be something awesome.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing 100%. That.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know what it's worth, but it's something. I mean, even when I'm in the studio doing guitar solos and stuff, like, I mean, there's sometimes I feel bad for the folks that I'm recording with, but I'll sit there and do a guitar solo 100 times until it's right. And it was probably right 50 of them ago, but it's like, I don't know. I'm a digger. I keep digging until I feel like it's there. And, you know, sometimes it's not worth it, but I don't know. I think it is.
Hey, musicians, are you looking for quality live show photos to highlight your work? Look no further than Summer Lee. Summer specializes in concert photography, and she's booking now in the Chicago and Nashville areas. She also travels and is tour ready. Find her on Instagram at summerlee.photo or Facebook at summerleephoto. Hit her up on DM for rates and availability. Summer shot for us at Americana Fest last September, and we can guarantee that she is the real deal and a true professional.
Let's talk a little bit about performing. Now that you have this new EP out, are there plans to be touring? Or I know you said you're working on some other projects, but what's up next for you?
Yeah, hopefully we'll be doing some touring later this year. We don't have anything fully solidified or like announced yet or anything like that. But hopefully we'll be doing some stuff later this year. I haven't toured in a minute. I grew up touring and I've toured a lot. And this last season with the kids and life changes and all of the above, it's been nice to kind of take a step back from it a little bit. But I'm very eager and ready to go do it again. So hopefully we'll have some stuff coming up soon with it. And especially again, with the more music coming out and all that, because this is really the first batch of music outside of some Christmas stuff that I'd put out in nearly 2 years, I think. And so in a way I'm just kind of getting the wheels rolling again and all of that. So yeah, hopefully we'll have some stuff coming later this year.
Very cool. Yes.
How would you say your music has evolved since you started to now?
Oh my gosh. I would love for people not to hear the stuff when I started. If that's anything for evolution, I like to hit like a delete trash can and empty it. I think that a lot of it's just living in life. You know, I think for the longest time, especially when I started out, I was just writing stuff that people that influenced me kind of sounded like, or songs that I liked, or trying to write stuff that just felt like stuff that I loved, which is great. But I don't feel like, honestly, until I really started getting a little bit older, having more life experiences, seeing more of the world, and just truly digging into myself, that it all really changed for me. And now, again, not that anything, I love all the music I've released and put out and I'm proud of all of it, but I just feel like now I'm in a place where it's all pretty much something that's gone on in my life, or an experience that I've had, or somebody close to me has had. And my goal with music now is just to write songs that I feel like can touch people's hearts and their souls and, you know, let them know that whatever they're going through is okay, that it's, you know, life is hard sometimes, but also we're all going through it. And, you know, I want to write songs that are encouraging and uplifting and shine a positive light to life and living it. So I'd say like, that's really, if anything, the evolution of it is just more so like the message and the underlying things inside of the songs, is shifted. And again, I don't really drink anymore and stuff. So like, talking about alcohol and going out and getting drunk and all that stuff, like that's not really in my songs a whole lot anymore, because I'm not doing that anymore. So like all of that stuff shifts a lot too. And not that I don't love a good, you know, barn burning drinking song, because I love some of those. They're great. But they're probably not going to make it onto my records anymore. So it's stuff like that, you know, of just like life changes and experiences and stuff like that, that I feel like is evolved over through the years, and musicianship as well, like getting better as a musician and as a producer and, you know, digging more into that side of stuff. I've always been involved in it, but I've just learned so much more as I've gotten older and done more of it. So I think in all of the aspects of it, it's just grown up a little bit, I guess, if you will.
Gonna say that's exactly what I was saying. Growth,
yeah, which I guess is evolution. You know, that's like that's what it should be doing.
Yep.
Should we do our rapid fire?
Let's do it.
Okay, I will start.
All right,
coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Vinyl, cassette, CD, or streaming?
Vinyl.
First album you ever bought?
Elvis Greatest 30 Greatest Number One Hits. It's the gold CD.
I love that one.
What's your go-to karaoke song?
Oh man, If We Were Young, or when You Were Young by the Killers. Is that one or American Trilogy Elvis?
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
I was counting on an Elvis.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Writing at night or writing in the morning?
Writing like songs. Sorry. Yeah. I didn't know if you said riding. I was like, I mean, I don't know. I grew up riding horses too. So I was like, I don't know. I would say morning. Yeah. Morning. Morning's my jam.
All right. You mentioned this a little bit, but I'm still going to ask, do you write your lyrics on paper, phone notes, or voice memos, or all of
paper, them? Paper, all of the above, if I'm depending on what I'm doing, but like, I always write it on paper. I have Blackwing pencils that I love. And, the Blackwing or Moleskine notebook, and I'm old school in that way. I've written every song in the last 3 or 4 years, I think, in my notebook. So, yeah.
Love that. Me too. What is your pre-show pump-up song?
Ooh, it changes. Man, there's a song, what's it called? By Grace Potter called Paris, I think. That's a jam, that one, or the Ed Sheeran, Bruno Mars, Chris Stapleton song, Blow.
Yeah.
That one. That gets me going, yeah.
That's great. Okay, dogs, cats, fish, or birds?
Dogs.
Describe your sound in 3 words.
Oh, that's hard. 3 words.
I think this is the hardest.
Yeah.
Soulful, heartfelt life.
Right. Okay. What advice would you give to new songwriters and musicians?
Oh man, I don't know if I have any advice. Just don't give up. Like, it's hard. It's a hard business, but also it's the most amazing thing in the world. I've seen so many parts of the world that I never thought I would get to see because of music. I met my wife because of music. So I would just say, like, just don't give up. Like, hone your craft, believe in yourself, and don't give up. No matter what anyone says, if you're good enough, you'll make it.
Great. Love it. We would love for you to share a song with us. Can you tell us what the name of the song is and a little bit of it?
Yes. I'm going to share a song called Turn This Love Around with you guys. It's the title track off my EP. I wrote it with two dear friends of mine, Vince Gill and Tennille Towns. And it's a crazy thing. Like, I walked up to Vince's house, and he invited us over to write with him. And he opens the door. Amy Grant sitting at the fireplace reading a book, and walk on into the studio. Vince has no shoes on per usual in his house, so he's barefoot the whole time. And we spend about 4 hours talking, and then finally get into writing a song. And he had this little guitar riff, which is the main little of the song that he'd been working on. And we just were talking about life and living and the ups and downs of it all. And that's where the song came out of, was that. We were just talking about the long road of life and kind of getting back to the basics of it. And that's what Turn This Love was all about. And getting to record with both of them and have them on it and write the song with both of them as well. It's just so special. And you know, I'm so grateful that whether the song were to ever come out or not, it was a highlight of my life and my career. And yeah, so it's such a blessing to have that song out in the world and to be able to make it with those two.
Fantastic. Thanks for sharing.
Baby, roll the windows down. We're leaving this old 10-cent town. Hit the highway and never look back. Try to get this thing back on track. Baby, turn some music on. Play our favorite Eagles song. Chase the white lines and watch the sunrise. I wanna see the light back in your eyes. We can make it, turn this love around. You can't break what's built on solid ground. I'm sorry for the hell I put us through. Let's take it back to me.
Shameless plug, where can we find your website, social media, Patreon? What's the other one? I was
Bandcamp,
anything like that?
Yeah. I think everything is Music by Alex Hall. It's musicbyalexhall.com. We'll take you to any of them. But any of the socials, that's the handle on all of them as well. And then for streaming and all that, it's Alex Hall, obviously. And yeah, I think that should take you everywhere. I've tried my best to make it the same for everything, you know, to make it easy. So yeah, Music by Alex Hall.
Awesome. Go check it out. And thank you so very much for taking this time with us. It's been a pleasure to meet you and chat with you today. And we're super stoked for you and your EP and everything.
All the new things.
Yes, that's from it.
Thank you so much. Thank you all so much for having me too. It's a pleasure to meet you both. And yeah, great conversation. Thanks for having me.
That was really fun talking to Alex because I feel like he's just got such a handle on his career and his, you know, his experience that he shared with us.
And who he is as a person and just, I mean, he had so much to say about being in the music writing business, which is always, I mean, what we want to hear and what our listeners want to hear. Right?
And exactly like giving... He said he didn't have an advice, but I felt like the whole thing was advice.
Yeah, that's funny. I shot that too. Yes.
Which was great. Not in a bad way, in an amazing way.
Yes.
It felt like hearing from somebody who you're just having your living room chatting with you about what they do for their, and you can just tell how much he loves it. That's why it was so easy to talk to him.
I couldn't agree more. So Alex, thank you so much for chatting with us tonight, and we hope to see you down the road.
Thanks for listening to Sisters in Song. Follow us on all social media platforms at Sisters in Song Podcast, and follow us wherever you stream your podcasts. If you like our show, please like and follow us on all of your social media. Please feel free to share.